From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, got a little more information on who Ole Miss is throwing on Wednesday. It's going to be Ryan Rollison. We'll talk about that a little bit today. The upheaval around the All-SEC teams was announced yesterday. It was kind of fun on Twitter, if nothing else. And more. One day away from, or sorry, the SEC tournament starts today, Tuesday games. I keep forgetting since Ole Miss has a day off. They are there tomorrow. They left yesterday afternoon following practice. We talked to them prior to them leaving. So we'll hit up those things, a few more details as well on today's show. It's brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford and next door at the Oxford Crystal, $3.99 for that sunriser combo. You get a couple sunrisers, you get hash browns, you get a drink as well. Good price starts your day there at the Oxford Crystal. Take advantage of that at the Oxford Exxon. You get bottomless refills for 49 cents and daiquiris for as little as $3. Appreciate those guys as always. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
The Clark Ford is in Emory, Mississippi. The phone number is 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. There's no hassle. You make that call and get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of the podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great new Ford, great service, delivery options, all of those things at Clark Ford and Amory will make the deal even better. Tell Corey at the end of your deal, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the already great bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, again, talked to Mike yesterday. He was just getting back from the Ferris Trophy banquet in Jackson.
Who won that?
Luke Sandlin, or Nick Sandlin, the Southern Miss pitcher. He defeated the other participants, Ryan Olenek, Jake Mangum, Luke Reynolds from Southern Miss, and then Zach Shannon from Delta State. Zach Shannon was not in attendance as Delta State is currently in the playoffs for Division II. So, but Mike showed up just off the plane, still in shirt and tie, to speak with us after practice. They were leaving at 4 o'clock yesterday. They are practicing at Samford today. Before playing tomorrow, he wanted to go ahead and get there. Don't really blame him at all. Neil, your internet's out, by the way. Just telling you. No big deal. I can make the show work, but the internet's out.
Okay.
What?
It should come back up.
Okay. Yeah, we'll give it a minute. All right. Anyway, we asked him. Said that no pitching decisions passed Ryan Rollison. However, Ryan will start on Wednesday. I think everybody knows that Ole Miss probably needs that game in some aspect to feel better about the top eight seed situation, which is understandable, not understandable, however you want to go about it. Again, we can segment it to death, but it is what it is.
You get to a place where there's nothing more you can say about it.
I get the frustration when you have people like Aaron Sorensen yesterday go, you know, really Stetson ought to be a top eight seed because wouldn't it be cool if Ole Miss went there for a super regional? It's like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah,
the little engine that could nature of college baseball drives me crazy.
I will say this as a timeout and a reminder to people. Just because a handful of media nuts think something.
Yeah.
I mean, I like a lot of people in media. It's no secret that I don't like most people in media. There's always that segment of media that is in favor of the little engine that could. The truth is, it's because it's a guy that's making $27,000 a year working at – where's that guy work?
He's a contributor for D1 baseball or whatever.
He's not even making $27,000 a year. I mean, he's got no money. So, of course, he identifies with the underdog in his world. And Stetson is the underdog. Wouldn't it be cool if whoever went to Stetson Well, yeah, Stetson deserves it. If you can make an analytical argument, you can't.
Well,
then yeah, it's cool then, but no.
Well, like you and I had this conversation on the phone yesterday. Stetson is ahead of Ole Miss in the RPI because the teams that Stetson has played or has played have a better winning percentage than the teams Ole Miss has played. That's it. That's the reason that if there's a difference in winning percentage to the point that Ole Miss's additional strength of schedule is not enough to overcome that. Hence, Stetson is in at least RPI shape a better situation.
Which tells you the RPI formula is flawed.
Of course.
I mean, Ole Miss played Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Arkansas.
Georgia, A&M.
Georgia.
LSU.
Yeah, I mean, come on. South Carolina, Vanderbilt.
Southern Miss twice in the midweek.
I mean, stop. One of their, quote, non-league games was against Mississippi State on a neutral site. I mean, let's just not do this. It's like the people that are upset about Georgia. I mean, Georgia, they have a hell of a resume, guys.
No, Georgia has a good resume. I like Georgia's resume more than Arkansas's resume.
Yeah, when people do the deal about Georgia, Georgia doesn't deserve it. You can't make no offense to Ole Miss fans, but you can't make a compelling argument that Georgia doesn't deserve a super regional over Ole Miss because of one game in Oxford, Mississippi. That's not fair. But you can easily make an argument that both of those programs deserve a super regional ahead of Stetson. It's easy.
Well, and everybody acts like North Carolina's a lock. They've got two good series wins. They haven't played anywhere near as many top 50 games. That's what's amazing to me a little bit. And now look, the SEC's had four national seeds before. Maybe this is all teeth gnashing. Maybe they all get one. I don't know. But my irritation at some of these projections is that every other conference gets this strange benefit of the doubt when they don't play as many top games. And in the SEC, you're competing against each other for these spots while everybody else goes, the SEC is going to get two, and so-and-so is going to get two. I mean, you know, to this point, and I'm not saying they don't deserve it. They're both very, 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 very good teams. Stanford and Oregon State's top 25 games are against each other. That is it.
You want my opinion on this?
Yes.
Okay. Again, media saying something is completely different than what a committee will ultimately say. I don't believe for a minute that Ray Tanner, for example, is spending a lot of time reading media reports. They're going to sit down in a room and they're going to look at resumes. That being said, this is the price the SEC pays for some of its bluster in football season.
You really think so?
I absolutely do, as it pertains to media.
Instead of not just winning in general?
It's that too, but it just means more is a very arrogant slogan. And it does mean more. People are crazy about it. But over the football season if you think about it, football season essentially starts, as insane as it is, July the 15th-ish, when the media turns the page to all of the different media days.
Yeah.
So the season starts July 15th. I realize it doesn't really start till September 1, and practices don't start till
August 4th.
August 5th-ish. But the season starts in July, and it does not end until roughly the 10th of January. It's a long season. And there is a ton of weekly bluster about who's getting in the playoff and all that stuff. It's become quite the ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
And so football just eats and eats and eats and eats and eats. And by the time the football season ends, I think there's SEC fatigue because the SEC dominates the football season. Am I saying that's right? I'm not saying that's right. Am I saying I think that is a human factor? Yes. You see it in basketball, and then you see it in baseball. What did you see in basketball this year? When the tournament rolled around and the SEC had, what, eight teams in?
Yeah.
Every time one of them lost, it was almost a celebration in the national media. Oh, see? And so you get this in baseball. It's a smaller media group.
Yeah, much smaller.
And the part of it that's not covering the SEC, just there's a resentment. Everyone outside of the SEC is considered the little engine that could. So they get a really big bandwagon going. I don't pay a lot of attention to the polls. I don't pay a lot of attention to the stuff people are saying outside of two or three people. I'm interested in Aaron Fitt. I'm interested in Kendall Rogers. What do they say? Because I think they actually talk to some people and have a feel for it. But none of those people are going to be inside that meeting, that room. Now, if I'm Ole Miss, I win on Wednesday. If I can, I win on Thursday, and then at that point, it doesn't matter. Because that'd be 20 wins. But if, you know, if you don't get a super regional on the resume that they have right now, if you're Ole Miss, man, you got to sit back and go, what else could we have done?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron was asked yesterday, the question was, what are your thoughts on Ole Miss and their body of work as it relates to a national seed, safe, comma, work to do in Hoover, question mark. Aaron's response, quoting, pretty safe, I think. If they go 0-2 and somebody like Clemson or FSU makes a deep run in the ACC, I could see one of those teams squeezing past Ole Miss. But I feel pretty good about their chances currently. That's fair.
Yeah, it's more than fair. I mean, when you look at it compared to the other groups, I think they've got one. I kind of agree with you yesterday. I think here's the compromise. The SEC's only going to get 4 regional hosts.
But all 4 national seeds.
And, yeah, 2 years ago, hell, 2 weeks ago, 4 sounded like a really small number.
Yeah, there was a chance for 6 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we thought 5, 6 maybe. Now they're just going to get 4, but I think all 4 are going to get national seeds. Also, these tournaments are hard to put out. People always forget the logistics in this. You're not changing a lot on Saturday. Because you've got to go through and you can't put, for example, let's say Mississippi State makes it as a 3 seed. Okay?
Yeah.
You can't send them to an SEC site.
Yeah.
You'd rather send them to somewhere where they're going to play a 2 that they haven't played. So if you start shuffling the deck on Saturday, well, you're running out of time to kind of get this.
They're going to leave a couple spots open at like some West Coast program to just put whoever is left at the end of it, but that's about it. Everything else kind of gets put.
When does the committee get together tomorrow?
Nah, yeah, they'll start sometime Friday-ish.
They'll have the 8 seeds lined out within an hour.
Think so?
Yeah.
Already on Friday.
Absolutely. You got to get that stuff done. You're going to know your host. You're going to know your nationals. You're going to start bracketing out the thing, and then you got to slot people in.
Yeah.
Based on, okay, a conference.
I mean, look, by Sunday, they're only moving stuff around from the aspect of some state you win some conference tournament and gets an automatic bid, and where are we putting those
dudes? The same thing as the NCAA tournament a few years ago when Ole Miss beat Florida in Nashville for the SEC tournament. Remember that? Ole Miss was going to go to Dayton.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was going to Dayton before that game. I'm flat to tell you that. How do you know? I know. They were going to Dayton. So when Ole Miss beat Florida, by rule, they couldn't go to Dayton. So they did just an easy swap, sent Ole Miss to Kansas City and sent LaSalle to Dayton. Because that was the only thing they could do. In other words, you couldn't shuffle the board. Too much work would be required. So they'll leave stuff like that open, where if there's an upset in the whatever tournament, you can maneuver some things, but most of that deal's done. That's why if you're Ole Miss, if you could win Wednesday and Thursday, I don't think Saturday matters at all. Any. None.
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned North Carolina here, because that's a little different than Pac-12. The Pac-12, they're going to get benefit of the doubt. It is what it is. There's not even worth talking about. North Carolina, though, in a power conference, they're 13-12 against top 50. Ole Miss is 16-11. When I look at North Carolina's resume, they do have a series win at South Florida. That's impressive. It was the very first weekend of the year, but that counts all the same. I don't have a problem with that. And then when I start going down the list, though, they lose a home series to Florida State. They won a series at Miami, which is 63. It's an okay win. Again, Virginia's bad this year, so that's not doing much for them. They did have a sweep. This is what has them here. If you want to count one weekend, 3 weeks ago, they swept number 15 North Carolina State in Raleigh. That's what's pushed them up is one weekend against Raleigh. But from an overall resume standpoint, it's just a bunch of meh. I mean, it's a bunch of ACC also-rans that are not overly high in the RPI, that aren't overly high in much of anything, but they're bolstered by a lot of different things. Mainly their conference record, and this is what's funny about it, is you get the selection committee that goes, well, conference record matters, but what conference you're in is irrelevant. It's just about who you played and blah, 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 blah. North Carolina went 22-8 in the ACC, which is very, very impressive, very, very good. I get it. when you break it down, though, there's just not a ton there from a resume standpoint outside that other week as far as really, really impressive stuff. So this is what you're going to get used to. And now, look, maybe Ole Miss gets a top eight seed. This is irrelevant, and you laugh at somebody else. The committee, because they've done this in the past where I've pulled out the sentences and pointed them out, they will use whatever is needed to justify it. For one team, well, what they did on the road was a really, 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 really big deal. The next team, it's not a big deal anymore. It will be tailored to make an argument however they need to make said argument. So just be ready for that. Be prepared. It's going to happen. So there's my.
Speaking for some of the listeners at home, probably in podcast land.
Yeah.
You don't sound optimistic.
I think they're in the worst shape of the four. I'm not saying that all four won't get one. I just think if you made the committee get into a room right now and decided, I think for whatever reason, everybody has decided Arkansas is in, despite the road record being what it should be in the past from a precedent standpoint of not good enough. But I don't know. I've got a weird feeling about that. I think Georgia's resume is very good. Ole Miss's RPI is the concern for me. When you have the worst RPI of the bunch, I think you're in a precarious situation. You're not in a deadly situation. It's not terrible. You're not out of the reach or anything. But the committee does not look at head-to-head.
No.
And they have a very easy way to throw that to the side by going, well, all of those teams just won their home games. Nobody won a road series. Georgia beat Arkansas. Ole Miss beat Arkansas and Georgia, but they were all at home. All at home, all at home, all at home. And that's not necessarily right, but that's where it's going. I think Ole Miss needs the wins. I think they need one for sure, and I think they need two to feel really, really, really good. I mean, maybe the rest of the bracket falls perfect for them, and they still end up all right. But the RPI is the dumbest metric that people can use. Here's the problem. It's also the easiest to understand because it's a ranking. People like rankings. People like being able to look at a number next to a team's name, even though they have no idea what in the world the formula is to make up said number.
That is true.
And that is the worry if you're Ole Miss. I mean, that's what's funny about this is, you know, North Carolina, some of these teams, they're getting applauded for winning ACC conference games against Pitt and against Virginia Tech and all these teams, whereas this is the topic on the message board yesterday. Ole Miss isn't necessarily punished. And I don't know how to figure this in, but when you're discussing Ole Miss's schedule, because like one media member somewhere, I remember who it was now, it was a couple days ago, was like, well, you know, Ole Miss does nothing in the non-conference. Well, they went to freaking Long Beach. Like, okay, I get that Long Beach is not having a great season, and I'm not saying to put a gold star next to their name.
There was no way you could know
Make it a talking point like they scheduled poorly is so stupid.
Agreed.
I mean,
they didn't schedule poorly. You play in the SEC West.
Kendall and Aaron are very, very, very good. Aaron, I feel like, stays very just, hey, here's what the numbers say. I do feel like at times Kendall politics for programs.
The programs that give him access.
And it annoys me a little bit. I mean, we're buds. I mean, I tell him this.
Does Arkansas give him a level of access others don't?
I don't know. I don't know. My assumption is, I mean, this is just me talking on a podcast, assuming, I don't know. I'm assuming some of it is for Texas is to fight the bias he has to fight because he went to A&M. I think a lot of people say, well, you're going to hate Texas, you went to A&M. So I think he props up Texas a little bit in that. The Mississippi State thing is still baffling to me because, I mean, it is any positive that can be said about Mississippi State is said.
I think Cohen's one of his big sources.
I'd buy that.
Pride on Cohen's part.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, that is what it is. But, I mean, that's always been a little strange to me. But
is it the argument with Ole Miss's non-conference schedule is a joke. It's a joke. They play.
But at the same time, the number is bad. So when you get into a room and you look at just numbers, I mean, that's what I was telling on the board yesterday. Somebody goes, well, why are you not getting more credit? And it's like, well, I don't know how to ratio that out. Because how do you, from an analytical standpoint, how do you ratio out? Well, they played a good team or played a team that should have been good. Because it's not like you can punish a program that tried to schedule bad and some team suddenly got good and beat them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know how to pair that against each other. I mean, just from a PR standpoint, it should not be a negative. I guess that's my point.
Agreed.
I mean, Long Beach was 14 in RPI last year and their entire roster got hurt. Okay. It happens.
Part of my argument with college baseball, they've got to figure out whether what they want to do with the sport. Do you want to make the sport mainstream or do you want to grow the sport, in air quotes? Because we'll say this again. If you want to make the sport made for television, the road to Omaha is going to go through Oxford and Fayetteville. I turn it on. I'm not a college baseball fan, if you will. I don't hate the sport, but I don't sit around and I'm not a junkie. I turn it on. I'm a human. I am more inclined to watch a sport where the place has an atmosphere. I'll give an example. Mississippi State played Clemson in a super regional.
2007.
Yeah, it was years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not a Mississippi State fan. I'm not a Clemson fan. I have no interest in who won that game at all. None. I watched it. Place was packed. Place was a zoo.
Yeah.
I watched it. If I turn on Stetson and whoever, and there's 700 people there, yeah. Next. I mean, hell, if I want to watch that, I'll watch women's basketball. If I want to watch a sport that I don't know anything about and there's no one in the stands, I'll watch women's basketball.
Yeah. All right, move forward in today's show. The podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. Get those annual contracts signed. Get some aeration done to your yard if so needed. They can get rid of the weeds that pop up in the spring. Make it looking good as well as take care of landscaping and even build structures before summer gets here if that is what you would like. Again, MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773.
Sorry, I can't breathe. Ole Miss fans living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. Lauren's consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood, East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. Call Lauren, 469-867-1734, or go to her site, laurenandkelly.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They'll get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. Call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. He's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or search for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan is in Grenada, Mississippi, located just off Interstate 55. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. We're also sponsored by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. Been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, from fast pass reservations to transportation, dining, and anything else. An expert in the field. Mention the podcast and get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. I know many of you have given him a call, so you should too. Free, no obligation quotes at Brandon at KeysToDreamTravel.com or 901-634-8687, and check free dining options available depending on when you take that trip. Auburn and Kentucky today throwing freshmen. I'm assuming Tanner Burns for Auburn tomorrow should they win. I don't know about Kentucky. I'm not sure what day Sean Jelly threw last week. You might get Ryan Rawlison. Sean Jelly would be kind of fun on Wednesday in Hoover should the Wildcats beat the Tigers.
Is that usually their Friday starter?
Yeah, he's big 6 foot seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 guy that Ole Miss beat him up pretty good in Lexington a year ago, but gotcha. He's been normally pretty good. Mike was kind of funny yesterday. Gets back from I wrote about this yesterday. Got back from Jackson, and after we discussed the menu, which was beef stroganoff and some kind of salad that he couldn't identify. No offense to the people in the capital city. I said, when'd you find out Arkansas lost on Saturday? And he kind of laughed. He goes, you want the truth? I said, well, yeah. And he said, during the break, and I kind of looked at him. I said, is that bad? He goes, well, he said, I didn't tell the kids not to look. He goes, but kind of gave them the whole, hey, feet where you are thing. You know, let's just control what we control. If we win, great. Meaning, you know, let's just win. If they lose, we can't control that. And he said, so I was sitting there. He goes, I had a little bit of a actual reason for it. He said, I wasn't just curious, even though I was curious. He said, we were at delay, and I had to figure out who to pitch. And he goes, I really was more worried about the Carolina game because once Carolina won, we're the two or the five. He goes, so right. Suddenly we're playing on Tuesday. He goes, well, if we're playing on Tuesday, I need to know if I got to have a starter ready on Tuesday if we lose. He goes, so it was really changing my pitching the rest of the game in Tuscaloosa to see what we were doing. He goes, now in saying that, you know, how do you extend the bullpen? What do you do? And he goes, you know, championships are special. You want to make sure you try to win a championship if you can. He said, so I peeked. He goes, I saw Carolina was beating A&M. He said, I saw that Georgia had beaten Arkansas, and that did change things. He goes, I only told Clement, and the kids didn't know until the umpire after the game walked over to Mike as soon as the game ended and goes, hey, I saw Georgia did you guys a favor, and then the team heard it and kind of went from there. But he told him he did not restrict phones in the dugout, didn't tell anybody not to look, but that he thinks he's the only one that looked, but that he had a pretty practical reason for doing so.
People in the stands knew, though. It's just hard for me to believe that no one in that dugout other than he and a couple of coaches knew. I believe him. It's just hard for me to imagine that scenario.
Yeah, I asked multiple players. I said, did y'all hear? And he said, nah, we just
played.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
The truth is, kids.
In Oxford, there would have been a buzz. You're on the road. Alabama doesn't give a crap. You know what I mean? It's probably a little different.
It sounded like an Ole Miss home game. I mean, well, I know what you're saying, and I'm not arguing with you, but there were a lot of people in the stands who I promise you knew that were wearing the Ole Miss shade.
Does it get
red.
Announced over the video board in Oxford?
If Mike wanted it.
Okay. If you're the coach, you want it announced? I think yes.
Probably. But I get what he's saying. I'm so sorry. Forget my voice. You're not throwing Rollison on Tuesday.
Well, no. He would have thrown Fowler on Tuesday because he brought Fowler in relief. I think he had to figure out what are we doing here.
What am I
here?
Doing with him? What am I doing with Jordan?
Yeah, can I extend him or can he just throw an inning here? What are we doing? I think that was the thing. Because Etheridge gave him three, something like that. I think Gracie only threw the last inning in a third or something.
The Etheridge deal is weird.
I asked Mike yesterday. I said, what are you seeing and what is TrackMan telling you in Will's first to second time? And he said, it's not the same every time. He said, that's the thing about it. He goes, I'll tell you this week. He goes, you know, and he goes, look, Etheridge settled in pretty good. He goes, it wasn't like he got banged around. He struck out a bunch. He lasted three innings. He was fine.
He was okay.
He said his velocity was up the second time this time. He said his stuff was actually sharper this time. He said, it's like any human. He goes, it's not like when that second appearance comes out, his spin rates are falling off the table or the velocity's falling. He goes, I mean, some days they are, but he goes, some first appearances don't look like the first appearance the week before. He's like, he said there's not a tangible difference in his numbers.
I'll give Alabama this. Didn't matter for them at all. And I thought they had a pretty good approach all weekend. I thought they played hard. I thought they played fairly well, given that they're not a very good team.
Yeah.
I thought they had a real solid mental approach all weekend.
Battled like crazy Thursday night. They won Friday behind just a real gutsy effort from Jake Walters.
Battled Saturday, even after a seven-hour delay or whatever.
Seven-hour delay, and at one point you're down four runs. It's been really, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the party's being impacted here. Let's get done.
Yeah, could have laid down.
They didn't. I thought it was a credit to them.
He's a good coach. I don't know what you can do there, you can't do there, but it's a good coach. He recruited really, really good teams at Auburn and Kentucky in the past. We'll see.
His kids played hard for him.
There's a credit to that.
On the last weekend of the season, yeah. when you're going nowhere.
Yeah.
When these games for you mean nothing.
How are you going to kill 18-hour rain delays over the course of the week in Hoover?
Well, I was going to ask you. The forecast is not favorable.
Some weather coming up from the Gulf. So
I pulled up the weather forecast for Hoover yesterday. Let's see if I can find it now. Here it is. It is 72 and cloudy as we tape this at 8:08 on Tuesday morning. Storms in view. Storms possible starting at 9:30 this morning.
Oh, already.
Coincident. Yes, sir. Which coincidentally is the time of first pitch. The forecast for today in Hoover, scattered showers and thunderstorms, chance of rain 50%. That's not too bad. Tonight's okay. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning with scattered thunderstorms developing later in the day, high of 87, chance of rain 40%. Tomorrow night's okay. I think they're going to be okay through Wednesday.
Okay.
Thursday, the numbers start to change. Thunderstorms. I always like it when they say, you know, chance of, well, yeah, of course, there's a chance. It's hot. A storm could pop up. When they go thunderstorms, that means it's going to rain. High of 86, chance of rain 80%. Drops to 40% during the night. Friday, thunderstorms likely, a chance of rain 90%. Friday night, rain, chance 80%. Saturday, thunderstorms, chance of rain 90%.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix, some Hulu. At some point, I mean, they're not playing Monday.
No.
You start to go, hey.
They've altered the schedule in the past. It was a few years ago. Look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I feel like they made the whole tournament or whatever was left of the tournament single elimination a few years ago. I think LSU ended up winning it. But they just said, hey, you get beat one time, go home. I think that's right.
It tells you for Ole Miss, the Wednesday game's important. It might be the only game you play.
Well, now, Ole Miss feel real good about 1-0 on the week and then move on.
Because if you win on Thursday.
I mean, something tells Wednesday, me they get it in. But
if you win on Wednesday, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 more games that have to be played before you play again. You might not play again till Friday.
Yeah.
So. The rain is what the rain is. The people that gnash teeth over rain, it is what it is. It's going to rain or it's not going to rain.
Thanks.
You know what I mean? You play that the game they play tomorrow, they need to win it. You'll feel good about it. Because if you win that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if the chance of rain's 80 and 90% and it rains all day long, you just don't get games in. At some point, they kill the tournament.
I always think they get it in. That is my mindset, is they figure it out. Now, there are some storms you can't figure out, but on the whole, I expect them to name a champion sometime Sunday.
Way. They'll figure it out.
Might be single elimination, but in some way, they get the tournament in. So, we'll see. I don't know. All-SEC teams came out yesterday. Ryan Olenek, first team All-SEC. Nick Fortes, Parker Kiraisi, second team All-SEC. Cole Zabowski, all-defensive team at first base. Anthony Servideo, all-freshman team. And the absence that wrecked the Ole Miss internet yesterday, no Tyler Keenan on any team, including all-freshmen. Casey Martin, Arkansas, was the first baseman for that team, and not Keenan. I warned everybody a couple weeks ago, defense plays no role in this hardly at all. You can have a butcher, and if he hits, he's going to make it.
Sure.
Keenan had very comparable numbers, had good numbers. I don't know. Here's the deal. It doesn't really matter. It's a piece of paper. I get the frustration, but Tyler will be all right. I've got a feeling he still has a career at this.
If anything, it might motivate him a little bit this weekend.
I mean, Casey Martin, I pulled up his stats here. He hit 344, 9 doubles, 10 home runs. I think those numbers are comparable. I don't care about RBIs. 554 slugging is a little bit below Keenan. I think Keenan was around 578. He did walk 26 times. He struck out 45, 429, and then, as I mentioned, 922 on fielding percentage. Can't field. Can't play third base, but never really matters. And this thing is such a crapshoot on who else is at your position. I mean, no offense to Anthony Servideo, but he didn't start a lot of games, and he's all freshman team. They've got to put somebody down. Now, it should have been – I hate the participation award thing, but when you do have two guys this close, Coe would have made a lot of sense here.
Yes.
I mean, Tyler Keenan, the only freshman in the conference this year to also win player of the week for a week in the conference, at times carried Ole Miss throughout the lineup. I mean, the more egregious one, frankly, was the kid on the second team outfield. I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody sent me the stats yesterday. Thomas Dillard had an up-and-down SEC season. He did not have a great start to it. He got pretty hot late. But overall, for a season, was really, really, really good. And he did not make anything. Second-team All-SEC, which one was it? It was Will Dalton at Florida. Florida being beside your name gives you a little juice, too. But he beat Dillard in home runs. That was it. He beat him in no other category whatsoever across the entire line. And he made second team. You have to remember, SIDs fill this thing out most of the time too.
Yes.
Just keeping it real again. This has no scientific nature to it whatsoever.
This is not something that the coaches sit around and sweat.
No, I don't think Mike pulled out a bunch of box scores yesterday and really started delving into his selections for this.
I'm going to venture to guess that he didn't pull out one.
I think he even gave a word of input.
Doubtful.
Doubtful.
Doubtful. I wouldn't rule it out.
It's possible some SID called him and goes, so Moody or Dalton or what, you know what I mean? Like, just get a couple.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, he's with him already, potentially.
Yeah, still.
Maybe.
I'm going to still go with doubtful.
Got a feeling Mike would look at you like that.
I got a lot of stuff on my mind, and that's not it.
Fill it out. I don't know.
Do your job.
He was not overly crushed by the Ferris Award yesterday. He was
that's
in the
fair.
Day.
Come on.
Oh, it was good. Yeah, he walked up. He goes, oh, we got beat by Southern Miss. I said, okay, it's fine.
I mean, you know, we had this discussion a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. It all runs together. But you could make a very valid argument for the
Sandlin and Olynyk were the two obvious choices.
Yes. And either one, had they won it, were deserving. And Sandlin's numbers are excellent. He plays in a very good program in a good league, and it's fine. I mean, I'm sure Ryan would have liked to have won it. Something tells me he lost no sleep over this last night.
I didn't see Ryan yesterday. I really want to know what he and Mangum were talking about because they were sitting beside each other at the table yesterday.
Girls, probably.
Well, no, there was a certain picture, and Olynyk is like grinning and using his hands, and Mangum is looking at him with this stern face, just straight back at him, with no facial reactions whatsoever.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'm like, what is he telling him? Because Jake's just kind of staring at him with his head cocked sideways, and Ryan's very animated and smiling and going through something. So I don't know what they're. Yes, I mean, look, I have no animosity whatsoever between the two guys. Like, you'll have fans on Twitter go, they were sitting next to each other. It's like, yeah.
Why wouldn't they? Yeah,
they're fine.
They like each other.
There were four guys there. They put the two Southern Miss guys on one side next to each other, and they put Olynyk and Mangum on the other side next to each other, and they were chatting about whatever.
Why not?
Girls. Probably girls.
Probably.
That's about it.
The girl that sits down the first baseline at Auburn or Florida or wherever.
Yeah. It's like, there's the fan that gets mad like when the football players go hug the other team after the game.
They're friends, guys.
It's they knew them from camps. They knew them from Elite 11 or whatever. It's all good.
There is a modicum of animosity with certain players.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, it's a game. And when that game ends, the game is over. I've always said if fans could recover from a game as quickly as players recover –
Well, a game is emotionally draining for players when they haven't recovered by the time they get to us.
Yes.
On the games where they're in the interview room still going, oh, dang. That's the exception that makes you kind of pause for a minute and go, whoa.
Those are the ones where we, in sometimes in instant analysis, go, this is going to be a different Auburn, the Quan Treadwell game.
Yeah, of course.
that team.
That was it.
How that team came back and beat Mississippi State. That was as devastating a loss as I think I've ever seen a team endure.
Yeah.
See, I thought the loss in Baton Rouge would be devastating, but they were okay after that. And played Auburn. That game that next week was a phenomenal game.
It was.
Arkansas at home, the crazy game, was pretty devastating. But the way they came back, it's when you saw that just how good of a football team
they were. Because they hammer LSU the next week. And
they were a good football team. But, man, they were that kicked them. A&M in 12.
Oh, yeah. When they were still trying to learn how to win and break the streak. Because the streak was still going at that point. Because they get the really bad Auburn team the next week and beat them up. And then they go win the game in Little Rock, and it starts to kind of free the clouds a little bit for them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that 12 A&M one was a good – that's a good example.
I did a radio in Lansing, Michigan yesterday.
Why?
My friend Mike Griffith, you know Mike.
I do know Mike.
He used to work there, and he had one of the guys at that station said, hey, who'd be a good guy to talk about Patterson or whatever, and he said, me. And so the guy called, and he used Mike's name, and I said, I'll do it for Mike. Yeah, sure. And I get on the show, and it's hardcore Michigan State. And the guy's really worked up. I'm like, man, it is May.
He's mad about Shea Patterson?
Well, he's really trying to downplay him. And then I did what I always do, really, frankly, is I just tell what I think is the truth, let that fall where it is. I got a lot of Michigan people triggered yesterday.
Oh, really? On Twitter?
Oh, yeah. And they can't decide whether they want to come at me or not. At first, a few people came at me with like an agenda, like you have an agenda. And it was like, my Big Ten agenda is the following.
You like Northwestern.
I kind of like Northwestern, and my son likes Northwestern.
And so Iowa has a cool tradition.
I do like Iowa's tradition. But that's the extent of it. I'm like, yeah, I don't really have a dog in this Michigan State.
Did Michigan State people defend you? Did you get any green and white on your side?
No, they just kind of – they liked it. I said Shea's good because Shea's good. Forgive me. I said his dad's a hothead. I said his dad's going to get involved in media. I said this is a referendum on Jim Harbaugh. I said Shea's a good quarterback. I said, but in big games, before and after big games, he's going to have to control all the things that come with Shea Patterson. He's going to have to get Shea Patterson to stay in the pocket, to go through progressions, to run the offense, to not try to win games with his feet. And they said, well, how did he do it in high school? Well, because he was the best athlete on the field. I'm not saying Shea Patterson's a bad quarterback. Because when people do that Shea Patterson's a bad quarterback thing, I'm like, no, see, now you're having an agenda. Because he's not a bad quarterback. That's silly.
No, he's a good quarterback.
Yeah. Now when he played high school ball, he was the best player on the field. But when he plays against bad college teams, often he can win games with his feet. Extend plays, things happen, throw for 500 yards. But when you play good teams, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Northwestern, they're going to take that away. And now you got to play football. And he's yet to prove to me, and again, he's a young quarterback. And I said this yesterday, I said, no, look, he's not the first young quarterback to struggle with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he might put it together his junior and senior years because he's got some of the tools to do that. But I said, is there a recipe for him melting down? Yes. This is going to be one way or the other a referendum on Jim Harbaugh. I didn't think that was very controversial.
They did.
Yeah, it's funny, man. It's like you see like while we're bashing media.
But now look, there's a desperation in that Michigan fan base right now because they can have – the Wolverines in their heart, but they understand what's up too here. I mean, this thing's on its last leg before it really goes off the rails, and they're in panic mode trying to save it.
Oh, there's no question.
They've got to have Shea Patterson be that savior.
Yeah, they have brought him in to be the Messiah. And those are high expectations for anyone in anything. In anything.
Yeah.
Hey, come save the organization.
Ooh.
Not come be a complimentary piece. Come save it. Is Shea good enough to save it? I don't personally think so. Is Shea good? Yeah, he's a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
And then what I said was Ole Miss's offense, to the naked eye, got better when Tamu came in last year. And it did. And they were like,
it was more cohesive.
He said, the guy said, you know, at Michigan, there was a Michigan State guy and a Michigan guy. By the way, if you're ever starting a radio show and you're the guy producing it, the rivalry thing doesn't work. It's great for the week of the rivalry. It doesn't work all year. So they have a Michigan guy and a Michigan State guy, so the interview has no real flow. And the Michigan guys will, you know, he's going to have a lot of talent around him at Michigan. And I said, well, he had a lot of talent around him at Ole Miss. I said, Ole Miss was awful on defense last year, and that's not on Shea. But offensively, he played with at least two first-round picks. And in 2015, those last three games, he played with the first-round pick. Evan Engram was a first-round pick. Greg Little's going to be a first-round pick if his body holds up. A.J. Brown, same thing. Maybe D.K. Metcalf. It's a talented team offensively. Jordan Wilkins got drafted.
Yeah.
Now, defensively, that's another discussion, but you can't hold that against Shea.
Right.
But offensively, Ole Miss should have been better than it was. It got better after Shea left.
There was a lack of flow with Shea, that there was more cohesiveness with Tamu.
With Shea, first guy's covered, I'm running. And when Shea went home after games, he went home to a daddy who blamed it on everybody but Shea. Vocally.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know you did that. Interesting.
Yeah, it's on the internet.
Okay, I'm interested. Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. Lock in the current rate. Get the lower one if it lowers before you close. 662-234-2704. J-Lo, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Guests will join us throughout the week, or what's left of this week. This is a weird week, but usually guests will join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Billy's Pecans knows the perfect crunch for every palate. They handle your orders with expertise and excellence, all with signature Southern style, with items at every price point. You can't go wrong. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, ship fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans. It couldn't be any more satisfying. Billy'sPecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go back into the Oxford community. Right now, OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the podcast is brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. Whether you're coming up for one game, all seven games, or any number in between, no one will match their customer service, their attention to detail. It's 7SouthTailgating.com.
So I found this, the Dalton Dillard thing. Just want to run by these numbers so people don't have to find them. This was sent to me by somebody on Twitter. Appreciate that. So here are the two numbers. I'm going to name Dalton first for Florida on all these categories. Dillard second, okay?
Okay.
All SEC outfielder considerations here. Dalton got it. Dillard did not. Batting average. Dalton, 271. Dillard, 312. Let's see. On base, Dalton, 344. Dillard, 390. Slugging, Dalton 566, Dillard 578. OPS, Dalton 910, Dillard 968. Dalton 8 stolen bases, Dillard 17 stolen bases. Dalton 16 home runs, Dillard 12 home runs. Dalton 63 strikeouts, Dillard 45 strikeouts. Dalton 19 walks, Dillard 42 walks. And the equal number of plate appearances off by one.
Huh. I would have voted for the other guy, Dillard.
Well, yeah.
Florida gets a lot of benefit for just dominating all season.
Only finished two games ahead of everybody. It wasn't like it was some
they
crazy.
Did, minds were made up
yeah.
weeks ago when they were running away with
I mean, look, they're the best team. You're not going to be wrong, but, I mean, that thing tightened up pretty good there at the end.
It's one of the things I love about, frankly, the NBA. The voters take the vote so seriously, do a lot of research. They don't cast their ballots early. There's not all the politics. You see a lot of strong voting in that deal.
Why? Who votes?
Riders.
Take that away. Riders should never vote. I hate riders voting. It's one thing I actually agree with Wolfen
Better
on.
Than coaches vote.
I don't think either one of them should vote. I think players should vote.
Well, I'm all for the players voting.
That's it. I think.
But if you
I think it's
players,
very. I think it's almost impossible for riders not to have agendas. I don't think riders should ever vote.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I mean, now look, it's awards that don't matter.
Here's the reality: so many riders have agendas that they. There are a lot of guys in the NBA that can cover teams that don't have agendas because I think in large part because a lot of those riders move around. They move to different markets. They've covered three or four teams. They don't really have an agenda.
There's a lot of baseball in that, too. You have a lot of beat riders in baseball that move from market to market.
Yeah.
Tons.
Truth is, in pro sports, when you cover a team 162 games, by the end of the season, you're fighting the urge to hate them.
We're just tired of them.
Yeah. You're sick of them. Because if you've done your job right, there's five guys in that clubhouse that are pissed off at you. And so there's animosity every time you walk in.
True. It's not wrong.
So by the end of the year, you're like, man, I would do anything to cover a different team. Any team. I don't care.
What are the Marlins doing? Let's go cover the Marlins.
There's an opening in Tampa? Okay.
I mean, like David O'Brien that covers the Braves for the AJC, he covered the Marlins World Series team in 97.
Yeah.
He still says that's his favorite team to cover ever because the 97 Marlins.
Yeah, like McCullough covers the Dodgers. He used to cover the Royals.
Yeah, he's the one that's computer went out in Game 7 of the World Series.
God, that'd be crazy.
Like the sixth inning.
Can you imagine? Unbelievable. I'd just lose it.
Oh, gosh. Who's he work for? L.A. Times?
L.A. Times. No, he went to the Athletic.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah, I had no idea.
Good.
He is very, very good. He's excellent.
No, L.A. Times.
Still?
Yeah.
It's okay to assume everybody went to the Athletic because everyone's going to the Athletic, so that's not a dumb assumption whatsoever.
Dodgers 20-27, 8-14 at home.
Yeah. When during your window?
Well, you just never know when your window's going to close. So, last night, as we're closing...
Yeah.
The Orioles were in Chicago to play the White Sox, which would otherwise not be significant. Of course, all the Chicago...
Manny Machado.
All the Chicago media is over there doing the Manny Machado thing. As they're talking about him, he hits a towering home run at whatever that park's called now on the south side of Chicago.
U.S. Cellular?
I don't think it's that anymore.
Is this what it used to be? All right, go ahead.
If you're the Cubs, what do? Do you trade Addison Russell and whatever for Manny Machado as a rental? Addison Russell's 24, has three more years of control.
No.
I don't either.
No.
I'm shocked at all of the people around that beat who are like, yeah, you should do it. Now, maybe they know something about Russell that I don't know. His personal life was
guaranteed rate filled.
There you go.
That rolls off the tongue.
It does. That has a nostalgia feeling to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, Kaminsky, guaranteed rate. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm amazed at the number of people that are like, yeah, I would do the trade. I wouldn't. Now, if Machado told me, hey, I'm going to sign a long-term deal. In fact, make me an offer right now. I'll take it. Okay, well, that's different. But I'm trading 3.5 years of Addison Russell for a half year of Manny Machado. And Machado's a great player. Don't get me wrong. I just don't get it. And you'll have to throw a couple of minor leaguers in that. Now, if I'm Baltimore, I'd do it in a heartbeat. If I'm Baltimore, I make that trade yesterday.
Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. That
I'm going to lose Manny Machado.
Yeah,
the Orioles are crazy. They're one of the worst-run teams in sports. They might not do that deal. I keep thinking Theo Epstein won't do it. This is just a media creation.
All right, last thing, play a game.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a Major League team. I'm going to go through all of them. You're going to have to give me the part name.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right, Los Angeles Angels.
Angel Stadium.
Yeah, you know there's no S. Angel Stadium.
Angel Stadium.
San Francisco Giants.
AT&T Park.
St. Louis Cardinals.
Busch Stadium.
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Chase Field.
Correct. New York Mets. It's not Shea Stadium.
No, it's not Shea. Citibank Field.
City Field, yes. Philadelphia Phillies.
Close
to the last one. I would have gotten this one right, amazingly. I would miss a lot of these, but I would have gotten this one right.
It's a bank.
It is. Not city, but
I don't know.
Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, okay.
Detroit Tigers.
Comerica Field.
Comerica Park, but yeah. Colorado Rockies.
Coors.
Correct. Los Angeles Dodgers.
Dodger Stadium.
Thank you. Boston Red Sox.
Fenway.
Thank you. Texas Rangers. Ooh.
They're building a new one, too. It was the ballpark at Arlington. They changed it to no, it's not.
I would have missed this.
I don't know.
Globe Life Park in Arlington.
Like you could have let me sit here for hours.
Cincinnati Reds.
Great American Ballpark.
That is correct. Chicago White Sox, we just said it. Kansas City Royals.
Kauffman Stadium.
Underrated venue. Really good park.
Very cool park.
Yes. Miami Marlins.
Ooh, I don't know what that's called now. SunTrust?
It's really creative.
No, SunTrust is Atlanta.
It's really creative. It's Marlins Park.
Marlins Park.
Milwaukee Brewers.
Miller Park. Great correct. Park.
Yes.
If you ever get a chance to go, go.
Houston awesome. Astros.
Minute Maid Park.
That is correct. Good park, by the way. Yeah. Washington Nationals.
Nationals Park, and it's awesome.
Is it? Never been.
Love it.
Oakland Athletics.
It's got a corporate name now. Used to be Oakland. Alameda County.
Still that.
Is it? Okay.
And at least according to this list.
Okay.
Baltimore Orioles.
Camden Yards.
Yeah.
I love it.
The full name, Oriole Park at Camden Yards, but yes. San Diego Padres.
Oh, it's a cool park too. Safeco.
Petco. Pittsburgh Pirates.
God.
A lot of banks.
This is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it is. You can't get it. Huh? Come on.
Is it the same way it's always been?
I mean, for the last few years, yeah. PNC Park.
PNC.
Cleveland Indians.
Progressive Field.
That is correct.
Site of the greatest game in the history of baseball. Site of the greatest game in the history of athletics.
Oh, gosh. What was it before? It was
Jacobs.
That's right. Yeah. There you go. Toronto Blue Jays.
Skydome?
Used to be.
I don't know.
Rogers Center.
Rogers.
Seattle Mariners.
Safeco.
Correct. Atlanta Braves.
SunTrust.
Minnesota Twins.
Oh, this is a great park, too. Target Field.
It is a good park. Tampa Bay's Rays.
Is it Tropicana Field?
It is still Tropicana Field. And then Wrigley and Yankee Stadium to close. So, yeah. Pretty good. Not bad.
I did okay.
Got a few proposed, three currently. We have Globe Life Field in Arlington is the new one.
Yeah.
We have Oakland Ballpark, a new one in Oakland. And then YB0R Stadium in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. Ybor.
It's Ybor?
Yeah, because if you go to Tampa, like you go to Ybor City and great Cuban food and stuff.
Oh, okay. So
they're going to build it in the Cuban district, I guess?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I can tell you if you hold on. Well, no, I can't. It doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
The one now is in St. Pete, and it's a dump.
It is a dump. It's dark and old and bad.
It's awful. Tough place to watch a game. Along the lines of what I was talking about with like wrapping the show up, playing a game in Stetson, I don't want to watch that. It's like you play a game, I sit right where you're sitting, and I flip. I don't ever watch the Rays at home. Nothing against the Rays. It's just... That stadium is depressing. I watch a game there, and I kind of want to hurt myself at the end.
Yeah.
Let me watch a game in Seattle, San Francisco. Those are cool parks. I can watch a Giants game just for the landscape. So if I'm sitting around at home, our friends in Dubuque, and you're flipping around, you're going to watch the game in Oxford or Fayetteville? Yeah, sure. The crowd's there. It's packed. Some atmosphere. Put the damn games where it's going to be exciting to watch.
Will two SEC teams be matched together in – well, no, they can't be if they're all super regionals. If one is not a super regional, will he be matched against another SEC program?
Yes.
You think so?
Oh, yes. Grow the sport.
Arkansas 8, Ole Miss 9, Ole Miss 8, Arkansas 9.
Which would be so unfair to both teams. So let's get that out of the way now. Making Ole Miss and Arkansas play is unfair to both teams. It's unfair. Whoever gets screwed, if it's – so I can get out of the way now so people don't think this is an Ole Miss thing. If Arkansas gets sent to Oxford, it is absolutely unfair to that Arkansas program.
Yeah.
It's wrong, and they should throw a fit. And if Ole Miss gets sent to Fayetteville, the same thing. They should throw a fit.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Got a weird feeling that they don't get
– I've known you for a good 10 years. I know when you're thinking something.
Yeah.
And I can tell what you're thinking.
Yeah. Don't know anything. Just I've been around a lot of these. I know kind of how they go.
Talk to a lot of people.
So
something's got you.
My radar's up a little bit.
Yeah. Something's got you thinking that there's just no chance they're getting four. And if that's the case, they better win a couple of games.
They could get four. I think things have got to fall really, really well, or every one of those teams has to really go prove it.
All right, let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's say Ole Miss wins on Wednesday and wins on Thursday afternoon. Are they in?
Yeah, they're in. I think they're in. Friday off. Yeah, you're there on Saturday.
So I'm saying you're playing somebody on Saturday whatever game.
Go win two in Hoover, and this thing's done.
Okay.
Because you also would have a last 10 of
– What if they win Wednesday, lose Thursday?
I'd kind of like to win Friday if you're them.
Okay.
I mean, again, you might be all right, but you're scoreboard watching a little bit.
I just know you pretty well.
You're really scoreboard watching. You go 0-2. I mean, you're in trouble.
Okay, if you're an Ole Miss fan and you're sitting in the stands in Hoover, what games outside of the games in Hoover are you really watching? Who are the teams you're cheering?
You'd like Texas Tech to lose. You would like Florida State to lose. You'd like North Carolina State to lose.
North Carolina State.
I think North Carolina's okay. Those are the three main ones. Frankly, you'd like Stetson to lose just for the heck of it. You know, Stetson did the same thing Georgia did. Stetson canceled two weekend games to keep their RPI up. They were supposed to play Mount St. Mary's or somebody. They beat them once and then canceled the final two. So, I don't know. Anyway, those are kind of what we're looking at. We'll have another podcast depending on schedule in Hoover. There will not be one tomorrow. Ole Miss plays at 1 o'clock. If Ole Miss plays night games, or at least that late afternoon game in Hoover, there will be a show the next day. So that's kind of where we are, and we'll have coverage at rebelgrove.com. Talk to you then.